Live from Data Doctors HQ.
This is the Data Doctors radio program, delivering tech knowledge for your technology.
All right, let's hit it, boys. Welcome to the best technology resource across the country. It's the Data Doctors radio program. Hey, remember, you can always jump in on the program, datadoctors.com/radio. Find out what's going on. Get links to everything we're talking about. Glad you can make us part of your day. It's Spanky, Ken, and Brandon. Here's what's going on in the world of tech this week.
Well, you know, everything's going social. Well, apparently, this includes smoking now, too.
Well, Google has a really cool new way that they'd like to see you cruising the Vegas Strip.
Also, how would you like a $20 laptop? And no, it's not a Mac.
Data Doctors radio program.
Yeah, but first, one of the biggest stories this week, Skypesoft.
Oh, yeah.
Skype has been acquired or is in the process of being acquired by Microsoft for $8.5 billion.
That's a bargain.
You need your pinky in your
billion. You know what?
Why did they pay so much?
I think that's the first question everybody started. They start doing the math. Okay, let me see. This many users, what, 160 million users, $8.5 billion. It's about $1,000 a user.
That's a bargain.
Is that a lot?
Well, actually, most of them were saying, wait a minute, this is a company that's never made a profit.
What, Skype is?
Skype
or Microsoft?
Has never made a profit. Yeah, no, Microsoft. Microsoft's done just fine, despite all everybody bagging on them. They got plenty okay.
To put it in perspective, the $8.5 billion is roughly 17% of their cash reserves.
That's the money that they have sitting around the drawers.
The loose change in the couch over at Microsoft.
It's less than last quarter's revenue for them.
Yeah, they'll be okay. We're not worried about, is this going to implode Microsoft's bank account?
But why do they pay $1,000 a user for most people? I use Skype. You use Skype.
I love Skype.
I use it
for free.
I actually have paid Skype because I've done whatever trips internationally, what have you, and it's a phenomenal way to communicate.
Did you spend $8.5 billion?
I didn't spend the $1,000. I think the grand total I've spent is about $35, of which $23.62 still exists in my account I haven't used.
Wait a minute. So you've spent
under 10 bucks.
Consumed under 10 bucks in what period of time? Like what?
I've gone
10 days, right?
Well, 10 days to Italy. I went to Texas. That's another foreign country, right?
Yeah, Texas. You went to the Caribbean.
The Caribbean.
Or the Caribbean.
Yeah, whatever. I mean, I've been to multiple international sites, have used it, called the office, done whatever, and there's still $23 left in my account.
So over the course of how many years now, you've used 10 bucks?
30 bucks. Yeah, well.
So now is it like...
But I gave them 30, so you got to count all the money I've given them.
Is your Skype account like a gift card at one of those stores where, if you don't use it, it starts to deplete over time until you have nothing left?
No, actually, if it goes dormant for like a year, if you don't make a call on that's part of the terms of service, it will say, okay, that money's gone. So those of you that have money sitting out there in a Skype account and you haven't used it for a while... Call somebody in Canada.
Just a 30-second call a year keeps your account rolling, right?
Just a spoonful of sugar.
But, okay, so here's the question. I mean, even though they obviously haven't turned a profit, they paid a lot of money per person to get this thing, why did eBay get rid of it?
Well, I think
why did eBay buy it?
No, I don't even know that.
No, here was the strategy that eBay had for buying Skype. People are on eBay all day long. One of the issues is that they have a question, they want to communicate with it, they want to, the one-to-one communication that's not really part of eBay. They thought, well, this is a natural way for people to click on a button, call somebody that's trying to sell something and connect up or chat or, have some other conversation besides email. And obviously that went over like a Led Zeppelin.
Who are these people that are on eBay all day long?
Yeah, I don't have time. I mean, if I put something on eBay once or twice a year, I'm not sitting there monitoring it.
No, but there are people that make their living on eBay. They are on eBay all day long. And so being there and available to talk as opposed to call me on the phone.
It was supposed to be, I'm a seller on eBay and I'm now available to answer quick questions rather than the chatty kind of thing.
The long and short of it. Microsoft wants this to integrate into their phone, into Outlook, into everything. So we're just going to have to see what happens. They're smart people with a lot of money. Let's just see what happens.
Well, obviously, Microsoft has money. The economy is doing well for them. The economy for a lot of other people, though, is still sucking canal water. So Wednesday.
Canal water?
Canal water. That's the stuff that's at the bottom of the canal. So Wednesday at Google's I.O. conference, they announced a $20 a month solution, which I think is phenomenal.
A solution for what?
Well, it's a laptop. It's a web browser, no file system, folders or storage, laptop for $20 a month.
No file system, no folders, no storage. So everything you do, you're doing on the cloud.
It all lives on the Google Cloud.
So if this is not a laptop in the sense that I can go take it and go camping and be out in the wilderness, and you have to be connected to even use the thing.
Yeah, for $20 a month.
Other than a calculator.
So now what are you going to do when your mom calls you and says, Kenny!
It's Kenny!
Kenny, I'm on the Google.
I'm on the Google. And I'm lost.
Is she talking about the machine? She talking about the website? Which one of these?
You know, I think it's a great idea for students. I think it's a great idea for people who don't have a lot of money to put into a laptop. I mean, you're looking at, you know, 200-something bucks a year. It's not a lot of money, but you're not getting a lot of computer for that little amount of money. You can't really use any of the apps that are out there.
It's a netbook.
It's a Google netbook.
It's a netbook that doesn't use Windows and it doesn't use Linux. It uses Google Chrome. And, you know, I have two students.
I thought Chrome was a browser. It's an operating system and a browser and a laptop now.
All in one.
Well, so I have two students that I'd love to be able to just pay $20 a month and their stuff is taken care of.
Is that realistic?
It ain't going to happen. Well, unfortunately, they're both art students. So, no.
Just not possible.
I mean, if you're writing papers and that's all you do?
Right. It's papers, spreadsheets, reports. That's about it because, I mean, we use Google Docs. In fact, right now, while we're doing the Data Doctors radio program, we are all looking at a Google Doc simultaneously that keeps us on track, and it's phenomenal. You can update and share and collaborate, but at the end of the day...
What's the name of the show?
The Data Doctors radio program.
And we're looking at it simultaneously?
At the same time and together.
Right.
Hey, nice plug, by the way.
What for ourselves?
Yeah, nice.
How do you plug yourself?
Nice in-show plug.
Self-plugging.
They're already here.
It happens.
But, you know, so I think this is a great idea. And with the economy being kind of squirrely still, it's not a bad option if you have kids going off to school and the budget's not as robust as it was a few years ago. A student could get away with this. This is something – and it's a lease. So
I see this in lower education. I can see this in high school, maybe even middle school. I can see this being of value because, I mean, you think about it, I don't care, what, 5, 6? They better be computer literate these days.
Yeah, but what about your stuff you care about? I mean, we've seen Sony still, right? We've seen Google themselves. We've seen Flickr. We see all these guys have problems and lose people's data. What about that?
Well,
Backupify.
It'll all be better on the cloud.
Actually, that is the backup for the cloud, a website called Backupify. Go check it out.
Well, coming up, Facebook boots Mark Zuckerberg. Can they survive without him? This is the Data Doctors radio program.
All right, folks, let's get real for a second. Have you ever met anyone that didn't have a computer problem? I mean, even us Mac users, I know as hardcore as we are, once in a while we run into a problem. Don't be a slave to your technology. Computers exist to make life easier for us, right? So when your computer acts up, don't let it screw up your day. At Data Doctors, our team of professional computer experts can take the pain away like that. We can speed up your computer, network your office, show you how to back up your critical data. And when you lose everything because you didn't follow our advice, we can get that back for you too. With locations around the country, there's a Data Doctors store near you. Just go to datadoctors.com and type in your zip code. Data Doctors, taking the PU out of computers for nearly a quarter century.
Delivering tech knowledge for your technology.
The Data Doctors radio program.
Did you know there are now over 100 million activated Android devices with over 4.5 billion apps installed from the Android marketplace? Wonder how many of those are those farting apps. With 400,000 new Android activated every single day.
This is the Data Doctors radio program.
Droid. You know, the operating system that runs on those Droid phones.
Droid.
A lot of its success is thanks in part to Google. Actually, most of its success, if not all of its success.
All of it, 100%.
Maybe Verizon gets some of the credit.
It's like the Mac can't exist without the Apple.
Well, speaking of apps and maples and fruit and salad and I don't know what.
Fruit salad.
Google's getting into the movie business. It has nothing to do with apples and salad. But they're getting into the business. So you'll be able to soon rent movies like Netflix kind of style, right? Right from the Android marketplace. And while that may not be so exciting on your little phone, that may be very exciting on your Motorola Zoom or your Android-based tablet. So you'll be able to stream those. And ideally, they're working on the ability to not only stream it, but when you stop or pause on one device, you pick up where you left off on another device.
Now you can and still have been able to for a while do that with the iTunes Store. Buy a movie, download it, watch it. You've got 24 hours from the time you started. I don't know, and I've never tried. Can you pause? I'm gonna have to check that out.
Can you pause a movie and pick up?
Because that would
be because you're with the iTunes stuff, like the iPad. When you download it, it's actually on the machine. So when you pause it, it's paused.
Yeah, but can you pick up on another device? Like,
can you
put it on more than one device?
No.
And B, if you can, does it remember and pick up where it left? Oh, no, it's not streaming.
Making notes so I can research what
this is streaming. Right. So this won't work on the airplane.
Again, this is where iTunes sucks.
Well, no. But this, if I'm reading this correctly, this is not a service where you can. Well, they'll start a movie and then get on the airplane.
They're saying stream only, but I'd be surprised if there's not some ability to kind of package that thing up, because a lot of people want to watch this stuff on the go, and on the go doesn't necessarily mean connected on the go.
Well, yeah, maybe that's why it's really aimed at the phone instead of the tablets. It's hard to say.
Yeah, I don't know, because I travel, I want to have it loaded and ready to go at any time. I don't want to have to, I don't have an internet connection, I can't watch the movie.
Okay, so the advice is, from the Data Doctors, if you're going to use this service and you want it to work on the plane, make sure the plane has Wi-Fi.
Maybe.
End of story.
Or you can check it out, but don't. If you need to have at least, if you're the phone side of the equation, at least Android 2.2, right? Or on the tablet side, 3.1. So make sure you're updated to that latest version before you try, and know that the rentals for new releases, they start, I think, at $199 for a 30-day period, but you have 24 hours from the time you start it to the time you have to finish watching whatever you're watching.
Now, here's the kind of the weird thing that I have with both with iTunes and with the Android. I get that you have 30 days to start it, but why do they only give you 24 hours?
Because they don't want you to watch it over and over again.
Yeah, but, I mean, can't you...
Because if you watch it, then hand it to your friend, they watch it, and they hand it to their friend,
give
they watch
me 48
it.
Hours. That's not an unreasonable amount of time.
What if we all bought iPads? Wait, we all do, right? And we're putting this in the Apple word for a minute, and then I watched it, and then we just swapped iPads every day, except for I'd get your email and you'd get mine.
And we'd all have to do it within 24 hours. They're trying to make it inconvenient for you to share.
It's already inconvenient.
Yeah, it's super inconvenient as it is. I think if they go to a 48-hour format, I would be more apt to rent movies that way than 24 hours. 24 hours isn't enough time, because with kids, I have interruptions. It's just not practical for me.
But you know what? Most of our,
I have five of them.
The majority of our fans, Facebook fans, have said that they have an Android device. Let's put it to them. Is this something interesting to you? Are you going to use this, you Android fan girls and boys? Is this something of interest?
You can tell us, facebook.com/datadoctors, and you can also ask questions there anytime.
A question that Google's asking the legislature of Nevada is, are you ready for our self-driving cars?
Let's get ready to rumble, is what they're asking.
Let's get ready to stumble, rumble, grumble. I don't know what it is. If you've not seen this video, first of all, when I first heard about the self-driving car, I'm thinking like the Stanford University vehicle that was able to drive at 5-10 miles an hour around these little, cubes and whatever, and then out in the desert where there's no. They have a vehicle. They have a number of vehicles, actually, that they've been running for.
Prii.
There's some other Toyota product in there.
Should we explain that's the plural of Prius?
Yes.
Yeah.
Prius. Because Priuses sound stupid.
Something like 140,000 hours have been logged on these cars that have been driving. They've been driving themselves in California unbeknownst to CHP.
They're not Disneyland style where they're doing 2 miles an hour. No. They're like going freeway speeds and regular stuff, right?
Yeah, so you got to go check out the video that we have posted on the Facebook page. It is unbelievable.
You've never heard a Prius haul butt like this, and they're demonstrating it in the video in this parking lot.
Wait, what did they do to make a Prius haul butt? Because they don't from the factory.
By the way, I
listen to the sound on this. You can hear them.
That sounds horrible.
Well,
I think that's
I'm on my MacBook. What do you want?
That's a hybrid or something.
We'll get you the link so you can hear it in high fidelity, datadoctors.com/radio.
But the question is, do you want to pop open a cab door and have no driver there to take you to your next hotel? Is that better or worse?
If I'm in New York City, if I'm in New York City, I would take that over because, number one, the cab drivers, they don't speak English. Number two, they drive like lunatics.
Well, apparently that's what the Google self-driving car is going to do. It's not going to speak English. It's going to Make we play a game.
It can't be any worse than the 15-and-a-half-year-old drivers that are out there terrorizing the sidewalks.
But here's the reality. I mean, if you just step away from all this emotion and all the stuff that we have as humans, 95% of automobile accidents is from human error. So as soon as this technology does become something we're comfortable with, mm-hmm. I mean, we don't realize it, but we're comfortable with that with these jet airliners. That's mostly the computer doing that.
Yeah, see, and I have a take on that. First of all, as an Apple user, a Prius owner, and a pilot, I love automation.
Wait,
I love
you're a pilot too?
You didn't know that?
I discover something new about you every day.
I am a pilot. So
he's a fly guy.
I'm a fly guy.
We'll call you Flyboy.
You can call me that, Mac Flyboy.
There's a fly girl that listens to the show.
But where is that?
Technology has been a part of my life in all of these aspects. And autopilot, it's a computer running your flight controls. It is no different than getting in a car that's automated that just takes you from point A to point B. I wouldn't have a problem with that, and I'd feel a lot safer. I think computers are much smarter than people.
And we're already seeing the beginnings of that. Some of the luxury cars already have that auto stops. They sense that a car in front of you is going to stop or is stopping quickly before you can, and it stops the car for you. You got the self-parking cars. We're already headed this direction. It's just a matter of us as humans getting our head around. I'm looking forward to it, actually. I think I'm going to get more work done driving to work. It's like a commuter in New York, right?
And we get rid of drinking and driving.
That's true. You never have to worry about
that.
There
are so many reasons why. Nevada, if you're listening, please, please pass this and allow Google to start this test in Nevada.
Here's the bigger question. Does that lower insurance rates, or does it eliminate insurance altogether for the vehicle?
I think Google takes on all the insurance risk and then pays any, because they'll be at fault.
Wow, that could shut down an entire industry. That is so cool.
The even bigger question for me, though, is are you a real pilot or just like on an app or something?
No, I'm a real pilot. I'll show you my license in the break. When we come back, Apple allows hookers to troll for business.
Data Doctors radio program.
Got a question for the program? It's easy to talk to us anytime. Just hit us right in the Facebook. Facebook.com/DataDoctors. Post it on a wall. We'll get right on it.
Delivering technology for your technology.
The Data Doctors radio program.
Guys, we've all been watching gas prices go up and up and up.
And up and up. And then slightly down.
And back up again.
But unless you're like me, you know, a Prius driver. You're looking at $100 fill-ups. I know.
$100?
Well, Brandon, at least.
Well, yeah, but he's the only one driving
a sub. Brandon's got the gas guzzler. Every time you hit the gas pedal.
Thanks to my svelte driving skills, I've been driving a very economical vehicle.
You notice I don't drive with you anymore? Yeah. Whiplash.
I'll have you know, my sub, I average just over 20 miles to the gallon. Thank you very much.
Well, that's nice. Well, if you're doing a family road trip this summer, for the first time, Foursquare actually is helping you save money on gas.
With badges?
With badges, no.
We don't need no stinking badges.
With check-ins.
How does checking in save me money on anything?
So Foursquare has worked a deal with Murphy USA. Murphy USA has 1,000 gas stations. They're in Walmart parking lots, Sam's Club parking lots in different parts of the country. They're all over the country. And so when you check in there, it automatically discounts your gas price.
What if I think Walmart's the devil?
Well, then don't get gas there and pay more at the Texaco.
Okay.
Well, hang on. How does Walmart know you checked in, and how does the gas pump know you checked in?
Listen, I'm not the creator of this technology. I'm just telling you about it.
In theory, it works, though.
Well, I mean, I love Foursquare. I'm just trying to figure out how that actually works. That's pretty interesting that there's some immediate... It's like you wave your... Do you show the gas meter or you show... Maybe show the attendant.
Maybe it's those crazy speed pass things that the mobile used to have, right? Uh-huh. Maybe there's some technology that they figured out.
NFC. I mean, Foursquare is completely an app, just an app on the phone.
Maybe you got to register at Murphy USA's website or walmart.evil.whatever or who knows.
Well, you know, and a lot of their fans are complaining on Facebook that because it's an iPhone app, only.
What is?
The Foursquare check-in thing.
They're discriminating,
with them.
Oh, just
with
that
Murphy.
One.
Yeah, and so that they can't get the discount.
See? Proof they're the devil.
It's not well thought of. Well, not well thought
it's,
through.
It's the beginning. Actually, I mean, I've always loved Foursquare. If you're going to be traveling a lot this summer, you're going to drive around, it's worth getting it on your smartphone. You never know what kind. I mean, it's not just gas. You can get great deals on hotels. You get great deals on, I mean, all kinds of things.
Absolutely. And since Murphy's doing that, I figured we'd tie our featured mobile app together with that. Because if Murphy's Law bites you in the app.
Yes.
You can save money with Gas Buddy.
Bites you in the app?
Bites you
really?
In the app. Yeah, why
That's
not?
The best you got?
That's the best I got.
You're going to back that app.
It's
up.
A free app, Gas Buddy. They also have a website, gasbuddy.com. Here's the cool thing. If you have your location data turned on your iPhone.
Not just your iPhone.
Or your Android. Yeah, yeah. Any of those
Windows
devices.
Phone, too.
Windows phone, yeah.
Ooh, they even got those guys. What about BB?
They're try. Oh.
They have it everywhere. It'll find the cheapest gas nearest
near you.
Yeah. So you can search by. Let's say if you're brand loyal, you can search by that. You can search by the cheapest to most expensive. It will help you determine if the cheapest gas is near you or 50 miles away. I would not drive 50 miles to get cheap gas, though.
Let's do the math. 50 miles cost me how much in gas? Saving 12 cents is not worth it.
I love Gas Buddy, but every time I'm driving from here to San Diego, it tells me the closest and cheapest, not the closest, but the cheapest gas is far left in Mexico.
Yes, and that's the gas you wouldn't want to put in your car because it won't run after that.
Actually, it is. If you travel around a lot, you have no idea where to pull off to get good gas. Gas Buddy absolutely is the killer app for that.
And if you're not one of those smartphone users, before you hit the road, go to gasbuddy.com, type in the city you're going to or the places you're going to be passing through, and you can print out a report prior to going if you're old school, if you like to use paper.
And do the math to figure out, it'd be like doing NASCAR or something, right? How many more laps before I have to come in for gas?
Exactly.
They'll tell you when to pit. So we talked about earlier how everything's going social, including something that might sound kind of odd to you, unless you're a smoker. Cigarettes going social. A company called Blue, BLU, they make these electronic cigarettes or e-cigarettes. And they're like that smokeless kind of deal where they...
Yeah, we saw them like 2-3 years ago at the Consumer Electronics Show.
Yeah,
tons
so it creates like water vapor, right? Yeah. And that gets inserted through some kind of mechanical process inside of a thing that looks like a regular cigarette. But here's where the social part comes in. The pack that these things come out of, not only is it a charger for the little cigarettes, it has a little bit of intelligence enough so that if you get within like 50 feet of somebody else who's smoking those same e-cigarettes, your pack, their pack, light up, vibrate.
Brandon, cigarettes and intelligence don't belong in the same sentence.
These aren't real cigarettes.
But so supposedly these are much safer, even though they contain the nicotine. They don't contain all the smoke and all the
bad
nasty stuff. That's
yeah.
You know,
it's a way for people to get off.
So
smoking.
You'll become addicted, but you won't sound like this.
Something like that. Now they're working on like a V2 of this that would post alerts and things on your social networks. Maybe if you were trying to work on cutting back, it would help you by pairing with an app. And help you keep track of how you're doing, maybe send those alerts to your doctor. By the way, these things also, if you're going past a store where they sell the replacement things, it'll light up and let you know, hey, you're passing a place where you can refill here.
You know the thing that I find kind of odd about this? Social has always been, smoking has always been social, and even more so now that there's so many smoking restrictions in places because all the smokers have to go to the one corner at the far end of the...
But you know what's great about this? Since non-smokers can't stand the breath of a smoker, this is perfect. You guys can handle this nasty smell from each other?
And this one doesn't even have a smell.
Yeah, I was going to say, is there smell when they get rid of the smoke?
Well,
it's totally
it's forever.
Yeah, it's totally smokeless, totally flavorless, odorless, whatever it is. And I've walked by people smoking these electronic cigarettes, and they're weird looking because you can tell that there's something not quite right. Oh, yeah, they're smoking, and it's not actually smoking. It's lighting up inside.
Near-field communication to help you. Still to come, gamers are helping the Navy. You won't believe how on the radio. The radio? The Data Doctors radio program. Ken Spanky and Brandon getting her done today.
All right, if you've spent any time listening to this program, you know how important antivirus software is. But you've gotten lazy. And when your renewal notice popped up, you probably ignored it. Sound familiar? It's the number one reason people just like you come into our stores for help. With Data Doctors Quality Care Secure, your antivirus never expires. And when you have any computer issues, you're just a small copay away from getting them solved. Imagine never having a big repair bill ever again. That's the beauty of Quality Care. It's like health insurance for the health of your PC. Data Doctors Quality Care, with plans starting at just $8.95 a month, there's a Quality Care plan to fit your needs. Stop by any Data Doctors location or go to datadoctors.com and click Quality Care.
This is the Data Doctors Radio Program.
Did you know? Photo sharing sites like Flickr and TwitPic, they can sell those pictures that you upload. Yeah, it's in the terms and conditions. You just click next, next, next degree. Well, find out the link to that story and more, datadoctors.com/radio.
Tech knowledge for your technology.
Data Doctors Radio Program.
Hey, there's another hit list going around on the internet. When I say hit list, I mean...
You know, bunch hit of, list.
Yeah.
Forget about it.
I can take you out.
Well, a group of attorneys that has formed this, for lack of a better description, an online ambulance chasing service.
Dewey, Cheatham, and Howe.
Exactly. They go after people that have downloaded media illegally. And so they were retained by the folks that made the movie The Expendables. And they went to the BitTorrent network, which this is all going to sound very foreign to a lot of you. Unfortunately, a lot of you listening probably have kids in your household that may have put you on this hit list, so you need to listen very, very closely to this.
And if this sounds foreign, that's because Ken speaks Japanese.
Secret?
Not really.
Asian man.
Well, it's because he is Japanese. Free. That's why it sounds foreign.
Gotcha. Free Riri.
Free Riri. So the deal is they went and started monitoring BitTorrent, which is, again, we'll get
nerd
into
alert.
All this in a second. Yeah, nerd alert. Again, if you have teenagers in your home and you have high-speed internet and they seem to always have the latest music and the latest movies and all that stuff, and you're going, well, I don't remember paying for this stuff. Parental alert.
Oh, I got it for free, Mom.
So here are the steps that you need to take. Everyone out there listening needs to make sure you understand your exposure to this. They've compiled a list of 23,000 IP addresses that they're going to go after. If you're on this hit list, you're going to get a letter from this legal group saying you are potentially liable for a $150,000 fine for illegally downloading a movie.
$150,000
for
one movie?
That's what the law allows for.
I can rent it for $199 for 24 hours.
Seems a lot cheaper then.
They'll say, we're willing to settle with you for $1,500 or $2,500. Think of it, if they do this 23,000 times and they're successful 10%, 20%, half?
How about I'll settle for double the $199?
So, here's what you do. You go to our website, datadoctors.com/radio. You can read about the story. We've also got a link to Wired magazine. Wired.com actually posted a PDF with all 23,000 IP addresses sorted by ISPs alphabetically. So if you're on Comcast, you can just go to the Comcast section. If you're on Cox, Quest, any of those, go to this section, and it'll list all the IPs that are going to get served. And then the final thing is, how do I find my IP address? Look at the third link on the site, on datadoctors.com/radio, on this, and it'll tell you. Just click on the link. It'll tell you what your IP address is.
And if you don't think that these guys are going to come after you, let me share a story with you that is so – it was mind-blowing. A letter arrived at a friend's office that said – and it was a cease and desist letter from a movie company because his office was distributing illegally a Hollywood movie. Somebody had ripped the movie on the computer at work, on one of the networked computers, and had a BitTorrent open and started sharing. And this company came after his company aggressively.
By the way, they don't just have the IP address. They have the MAC address, which is the actual unique address of a piece of hardware in the computer that they're going
to go after. It has nothing to do with an Apple product.
Yeah, think of MAC as machine.
Yeah, machine address, yes. So, you might want to, again, high-speed internet, teenagers, and you're clueless as a parent, you might want to do your homework here. You might be on that hit list.
Yeah. And while the copyright police are hunting you down for illegal activities, Apple's App Store is helping you do something slightly illegal.
What?
Shopping for
sugar?
Love.
Sugar?
Love. Sort of.
Yeah. What's wrong with shopping for love?
Yeah. They're making prostitution look like eHarmony.
Oh, looking for love in all the wrong places.
Apple's doing this?
Apple's not doing it, but they're allowing this app through. SugarSugar.com is the company that actually created the app, and it's to help sugar daddies hook up with sugar babies. And so I need to get through school.
You're going to get yourself a cease and desist for using that, sir.
I'm sorry. The candy company will come after me. they're allowing, and I'm trying to be very delicate in the way I say this, they're allowing guys who have gobs of money to help young women who are in school, who need financial assistance, who need, it's a really shady kind of setup, but they make a really gorgeous website that just looks like everyone's in love, and they're...
It doesn't sound very shady at all. It sounds like the light is very bright on this one, exactly what's going on.
Yeah, so sugar daddies, openly trolling for sugar babies, now can use this website, but Apple was asleep at the wheel on this.
So there's an app that you put on your phone that can... Is there a sugar baby near me?
Yes.
Is this supposed to be, though, is this supposed to be a more of a dating thing, which, you know, consensual adults, whatever, or is this really, I mean, is it really over the top obvious?
It's over the top obvious. I spent about a half hour on the SugarSugar.com website last
night.
That's
where you were.
In research.
It was show research.
Allison.
My wife came in. She's like, what are you looking at? Nothing. Nothing. MacBook closed so fast.
Sugar.
No, but it's really, it's overt. And it's stupid overt. And I am shocked because Apple has this almost Puritan
way. Wait, but you got to explain. People post, hey, I need to pay my rent.
Yes.
Right?
So, just to be clear, we're talking about pay for play.
Pay for play, exactly.
Yeah. Right. In real dollars.
Or pay per view.
So like some
I
of
think
the
pay per view is legal. It's pay for play is not.
Yeah, some of the real life stories that were shared. I mean, the pictures they show are couples in love, and the guys are always like old farts, and the women are these young, very attractive college students struggling, don't have enough money for rent, need money for books.
So we're talking beyond manthers.
Manther?
Yeah. Manther.
Well, you know we have our rule. Anything you say on the show,
you know what a cougar is, right?
Yeah.
Older woman dates, right? So the male equivalent of cougar is a manther, right? A panther is a manther.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So,
so
you
it's
know,
not a manther site.
Not a manther site.
Beyond
so
this, that.
No, it's not. So Apple has given their blessing on the app for SugarSugar.com. It's supposed to go live June 1st, the app.
And it'll probably go dead June 2nd.
I have a feeling Apple might have a change of heart before the June 1st release. I would hope they do.
You know what? This is like the pink taco trying to get the naming rights to the stadium.
Yeah,
Sugar knew that it's just a matter of time before they get shut down on this, but they're going to get so much run from this. All these people that have never heard of the website are going to suddenly go, what?
It's like Tom Parsons at GoDaddy. Every time he does something like kill an elephant in Botswana.
It's Bob Parsons. Yeah.
Did I say Tom Parsons?
Yeah.
Tom's his illegitimate
his brother. Yeah. Bob Parsons at GoDaddy. You know, you shoot an elephant in Botswana and you get free PR.
All the links to everything we talk about, including our crazy stories like this, you can find them anytime, datadoctors.com/radio, plus the search tool. Check that out. Great resource for looking up answers to questions other people have asked, just like you. If you're thinking it, somebody's probably already asked it and we've answered it. It's the Data Doctors Radio Program.
This is the Data Doctors radio program. Live from Data Doctors HQ.
This is the Data Doctors radio program. Delivering tech knowledge for your technology.
And welcome to the best technology resource across the country. Yes, it is the Data Doctors radio program. You can always jump into the show anytime online, datadoctors.com/radio. We're glad you could make it part of your day. It's Ken, Brandon, Spanky, and here's what's going on in the world of tech this week.
So all of you business owners that are out there struggling with social, boy, have I got a tip for you. It's called Hootsuite.
Plus, Ford gets cozy with Google.
And of course, you cannot miss my MacTastic tip.
Tech knowledge for your technology. Data Doctors radio program.
But first, gamers have been kind of SOL. If they're on the PlayStation Network, for weeks and weeks now. We're going on to my fourth week, I think, starts coming up this week, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so there's a lot of stuff going on there. Obviously, Sony's running around patching holes everywhere, but it sort of starts us to think about some other things. If you're a game developer, right, are you going to consider maybe not developing anymore? I mean, you're obviously getting financially hurt by this because your games, there's the online components, the interactive play, all that is damaging your revenue. If I'm a big game manufacturer, Activision, Capcom, these guys, am I considering maybe stopping developing or at least putting it off for a while to make sure Sony's got their stuff together?
And does that roll into a really blasé holiday season this year for Sony PlayStation users?
Yeah, what about the kids?
Well, yeah, it's like there's nothing really good to buy this year because they all abandoned ship.
Santa shut down the network.
You know what? You told me something, though, earlier in the week
I did?
That I wasn't aware of. The whole hack to begin with, the PlayStation Network got hacked. I think that's a really interesting thing that people should hear.
Yeah, so this goes back a ways. There's a guy. He's a hacker guy, and his name is George Hotz or something like that, but they call him Geo Hot. That's sort of his handle online. He was sort of made famous years ago when the first, what's the iPhone, the jailbreak, right? He kind of created that process and figured out how to hack that, and every time there's a new version of the stuff, he's usually part of the team or one of the guys that creates those jailbreaks that people use to unlock their phone and do all their things. Well, this guy had figured out how to do something similar in the world of Sony. And it really wasn't about trying to steal service and get free service, those kinds of things. It was about taking that Sony PlayStation, which is, for all intents and purposes, a very powerful computer, and letting people unlock it to do kind of custom things with it. And Sony decided, when he did that, that they were going to sue him and went after him with a lawsuit. And they ended up having some kind of settlement. But the hackers of the world that like to unite came together and said, you know, if you don't lay off this guy, we're going to take you down.
And Sony made sure to make this a very public thing, as if to try to show the world, look, if you do this with our stuff, we're coming after you. And then the hacker community said, whoa.
To me, this was one of those experiences where a company like Sony wasn't very smart. They weren't very strategic in thinking about it, because this guy, all he was trying to do was make the experience better as a user.
Yeah, you know what? You know who they should be emulating? This little company called TiVo.
Yeah, you know, years and years ago, I was one of the very early adopters of TiVo. I was like customer, you know, 200 or something silly like that. I had one of the older school, like silver-colored boxes. It was made by a third-party Sony at the time. And they did something very unique back then. They not only allowed the hackers to hack, they actually encouraged it. And they did a couple of things. They made a couple of ground rules. And they said, look, you can hack away on these things and try to make them do things we never designed them to do, as long as, number one, you don't try to steal service. We have a business to run, and we have a revenue. We charge what we think is a fair price. You bought the product, and you need to pay for the service. So as long as you're not trying to steal service, that's rule number one. Rule number two, as soon as you start hacking, obviously we're not going to support your hacks, right? And if you mess up your box, that's on you. That's not on us. But other than that, if you want to hack, you go wild. And in fact, like I said, they almost encouraged it. And what happened is that the community figured out how to do some things that TiVo, A, hadn't thought of, and B, would have spent a lot of time and a lot of money making happen. Like, one of the first early things they did was they figured out how to put, like, a network card inside of this thing, right? And make it so that you didn't have to get your updates through the old modem.
Dial-up, yeah. I mean, but you're talking about the hackers did this.
Right, the hackers. Yeah. And so the TiVo group took a look at that and went, well,
duh,
wait a minute.
Winning!
If we allow that to happen, A, people get their updates faster, which is good. B, we can stop paying for all these dial-up modems and all these things. And so they ended up incorporating that. And that's just one of hundreds of features that are now part of the service that other people developed and they just included.
And the big benefit to companies like TiVo and like Sony, if they were to open their eyes, it's free R&D.
Yeah, there's a huge enthusiast community that exists now. And again, TiVo, their ground rules are the same today as they were years ago. Don't try to steal our service. And we'll let you guys roll. And people come up with some really amazing stuff. And it's why that's probably, if you've had the experience on that DVR versus any others,
it's just better.
Far superior.
Well, needless to say, this is an ongoing story. We will continue to monitor the thing. But there's just continual fallout from this. All of you out there that are in business know that social media is a critical part of your future. And if you've had the ability to come and join us at one of our free little social media 101 seminars, you know we talk a lot about all the tools that are out there. And one of the most common things I get when I'm doing these seminars are people going, I don't have time for this, I don't know. And I think a lot of people go into social media going, okay, I got a few minutes, I'll just do something. And it's just really just all over the place. There's a great tool out there for all of you struggling with this. It's called Hootsuite. It's absolutely free. Here's some key things that it'll allow you to do. One, it'll allow you to get a secured team together. So not one person has to do this. You can represent your company with a multitude of people, but it has secure tools to make sure that only the proper information goes out.
So wait a minute. If I have a Facebook page, like a fan page, like we do at Data Doctors, right? We have like 10 or 12 different people that we've designated as admins. Why is this different?
Looking just at Facebook.
Gotcha.
Social strategy is going to have all of these different social medias, a blog, I mean, everything else that's going on.
So it's all one interface?
One interface, so you can post. Then a dashboard, so you can kind of monitor what's happening, so you can track all the things that are going on. Or what are people clicking on? What do they like? You can schedule up to 50 posts. So you can, on Monday morning, you can schedule your whole week's posts. And so then it looks like you've been posting throughout the week.
And here's the really slick thing as a business. You can see what your team is posting before it posts because it sits in a queue. So if you want to edit something or add to it or modify it.
Right. It's just a much smarter way to go.
You want to hear something funny? I've been telling people that I know that have small businesses that want to get into social about Hootsuite. I've never actually tried it. I just knew some of the features like the posting, you know, on a scheduled basis, those kinds of things. I probably should go check it out because this actually sounds way cooler than I thought.
And it gets even better. The folks at Hootsuite are always in there, so they're always available like a tutor sitting out there. You can ask a question anytime you want. So
a
check it out.
Tutor.
Hootsuite. The link is at datadoctors.com/radio.
Yeah, just ahead, Mark Zuckerberg, you know, the Facebook guy. He got booted from Facebook. We have the fallout of this huge story striking the heartland of America. Well, not really. It's all right here on the Data Doctors radio program.
He's out.
How many of you have ever had a friend who didn't have a computer problem? Raise your hand. Brandon, Ken, anybody? You know people have computer problems all the time, right?
Yeah, they're dead.
Yeah. Neither have we. Look, people, everyone is a slave to their technology at some point, but you don't have to be. Computers exist to make our life easier, not harder. Okay? So when your computer acts up, don't let it ruin your day. At Data Doctors, our team of computer experts can take away your pain fast. We can speed up your computer, network your office, show you how to back up your critical data. And when you lose everything because you didn't follow our advice, our data recovery experts can get that back for you too. With locations around the country, there's a Data Doctor store right near you. Just go to datadoctors.com and type in your zip code. Data Doctors, taking the PU out of computers for nearly a quarter century.
Delivering technology for your technology.
The Data Doctors radio program.
Hey, if you like what we're talking about on the program, remember you can get all the links to everything we talk about at datadoctors.com/radio.
Data Doctors radio program.
Facebook boots off Mark Zuckerberg.
I can't believe they made such an enormous mistake.
Not that Mark Zuckerberg.
Oh.
This Mark Zuckerberg is an attorney that lives in Indianapolis, and apparently he got booted off once before and had to go through this whole rigmarole where he proved to Facebook that he was actually not the Mark Zuckerberg, but another Mark Zuckerberg, his actual legal name. And they put him back on, and now here we are a couple years later. He's booted off again.
Why the hate?
Why the hate? Well, I mean, a lot of people trying to be Mark Zuckerberg in the world, I'm sure. So they're having problems with...
It's just
with
a filter.
I'm sorry. There can only be one Mark Zuckerberg, only one Steve Jobs, only one Brandon Disney.
Well, no. There can only be one Mark Zuckerberg on Facebook.
Oh, that's right, because they control everything.
This guy actually had a pretty cool sense of humor. He said, you know, you can imagine hundreds of Facebook requests, like friend requests, every day because people think I'm that guy, the other guy. So maybe it's not such a bad thing for me to be off for a little while.
I think he feels like a gefilter fish.
A gefilter fish? How do you spell gefilter fish?
I think he's getting filtered by the g. The big g.
The big g.
Hey, by the way, you may have noticed there were quite a few like weird posts on your Facebook wall this week. A pretty major scam broke out middle of the week.
All my friends are weird, so I didn't see anything different.
When you see people with vulgarities and things of that nature, and then they say, and the only way you can get rid of this is to click on the remove the app. I mean, That apparently is the new ploy to get people. A lot of people fell for this. So, again, general advice from us, when you see these really wild, salacious posts from friends that aren't normally like that, you gotta just instantly assume it's a scam. It's getting, you know what? Facebook's getting as bad as email now.
Scam book.
Yeah, it's horrible. It's horrible.
Worser.
And it's hitting everybody. Hey, you know, earlier in the program we were talking about the Sony PlayStation Network and gamers. Gamers have their place in the world.
Well, not if they're on the Sony.
Well, right now they're in the ether.
Yeah, they had their place.
They had their place. But gamers are actually helping save the world.
Gaming, yeah. Saving the world.
Well, the Navy is at least banking on it. The Navy is now crowdsourcing to help fight pirates. You know, not like Pirates of the Caribbean, but real pirates. You know, the Somali guys, the bad dudes who take over yachts and kill people.
So not the guys that are stealing software.
But how's the gaming and the crowdsourcing and the fighting of the pirates? How does this all...
Well,
what?
This is the interesting part of the story. So starting Monday, the Navy is going to want gamers to play these scenario-based games. They admit openly, this is the U.S. Navy. We don't know how this is going to help us get the pirates, but these gamers are pretty smart. And if there's a way that they can figure it out, they will.
So they've set up like this virtual simulation kind of deal.
Correct.
This is like the way you fly with simulators, right? They set up this simulated world where you can fight pirates. And
why the hate?
It's not hate. It's
no
doubt.
Reason to rip.
You actually showed me the license. I still think that's doctored,
too. I know how they got the funding from the government on this.
And how did they get
it? They called it a pirate petri dish. Because that's essentially what they're doing is they're growing mold over here. They're going to see what happens.
They said, we need some money, but don't ask. We won't tell.
I like what the Air Force is doing with gamers much better.
Aiming high?
Those gamers are the ones flying all those drones. You don't have pilots in these planes that are flying around in these really dangerous zones. And that's what caused bin Laden to go far into Pakistan is because we have the world's best gamers.
Oh, yeah, they hang out in Nevada, right? And they fly missions all over the planet.
Yeah, they work an 8-hour day and then go to the Circle K for a slushy.
Slushy.
After fighting a war.
That's good. I mean,
that's got to be odd, right?
Can you imagine going home for work? Honey, how was your day? I can't talk about it.
I'd have to kill you, honey.
Honey,
I want to kill people.
Did you do anything exciting in the office today? No, don't ask.
Bombed a country.
I took out some bad guys with my joystick.
I found the bad guy, the number one bad guy.
Well, that'll continue. So, Mama, do let your kids grow up to be gamers.
Yeah, exactly.
Something like that. Something
I remember that song.
Gaming is okay. I like to be a gamer.
Hey. That can only mean one thing.
Geek Speak of the Week. Geek Speak.
Don't be messing up Herbie Hancock on me now.
Of the Week. I'm not.
Every week at this time, we bring you a little portion of the vernacular of the tech world. Something that'll make you sound really hip and tech when you're out there.
Geek Speak!
Oh, the week. This week's Geek Speak is Googleheimers.
What?
Googleheimers.
Isn't that a museum in New York City?
It might be, but this is a syndrome we've all suffered from time to time.
I don't remember.
You're out in the world, you got this thing going on, you go, oh, I got to remember to Google that. And then when you get to the desk, when you finally get to the computer, and you're going, what was that I was going to Google?
Oh, it's like Alzheimer's for Googling.
And that's when one of my favorite websites comes into play. Let me Google that for you.
Well, you got to remember what you're trying to Google is the problem.
Geek Speak of the Week.
Yeah. Googleheimers.
I have problems with that all the time.
So you can now articulate this problem that you had there. Googleheimers.
Yeah. Hey, you know, Google, speaking of Google, they're working on fixing this big problem with a Android update called Ice Cream Sandwich.
It sounds delicious.
It sounds like it's
something you want to eat.
Vanilla ice cream between two chocolate wafers. Well, what's it actually? No, it's fixing one of the big problems, which is this whole issue. If I'm an app developer, there are so many different versions of the Google Android app that different phones have that this world is really, really tough. And if I have a Google device and I try to go get apps, I have to first look and go, well, it's not just for Google things. It's only for Google and only for the HTC and only if it's version 2.1 and only if, and there's just so many different things. It's all fragmented.
A lot of variables.
Yeah. One of the things that they're aiming to fix is bringing all this together so that everybody on the Android operating system in the phone world is on one platform, right? And they can get everything back to one and then we can advance from there. Obviously they're going to put some features and things in there as well and some things that people have been looking for, but breaking up that fragmentation.
Well,
really.
Yeah, and then that'll allow all these things to actually work together. Some of the discussions we were talking about, can I do this and then continue it on there? And obviously, that's going to really open that door up, right?
Can you shut that beeping up, sir?
I can't.
It's beeping.
It's way over there. It's in the other part of the room.
You didn't plug in and charge again.
Didn't. And I got some bad news for all you people that hate. If you hate Farmville and you hate Lady Gaga, it's about to get really, really bad for you.
But wait a minute. Farmville's going to save the world. Oh, wait. No, that's gamers.
No, those are pirate gamers.
My bad.
Totally different.
Gagaville is coming soon, which means all of those posts. You know what, though? It's an opportunity for us to remind everybody out there, you can easily block anything and everything that comes from Farmville, any of those things, just by anytime somebody posts it. So the first time you see a Gagaville post and you say, I don't ever want to see these again, just float your mouse over on the right-hand side there, and one of the options that will come up is to remove, basically block anything from Gagaville from this point forward.
You know what I wish? I wish they had a feature, since I just heard on the Data Doctors radio program that this Gagaville thing was coming, this thing where I could block it, even though it doesn't exist yet.
Preemptive.
Let me block it so I never have to see it.
That's called a preemptive strike. If Facebook did that, they would probably go out of business because people wouldn't spend money buying these apps and developing them.
Maybe.
I think.
Hmm.
Coming up, Google and Ford. They're getting all cuddly and such. They're trying to make your driving life easier. Plus, as Facebook fan grows trolling for polling answers.
This is the Data Doctors radio program.
Got issues, tech issues, that is. That's what we're here for. It's the Data Doctors, the Data Doctors radio program here. You can always ask us a question anytime at our Facebook page, facebook.com/Data Doctors.
This is the Data Doctors radio program.
But first, you can't ask us any questions. It's time, gentlemen,
for the Mac-tastic tip.
He must have silence for this. I won't say another word.
Breathe in.
Go ahead.
My Macness.
How about a little side of Windows today?
A side of what?
Windows.
Yeah, right. Folks, you know those people who run that DOS, Dinosaur Operating System? They have a problem with a lot of these fake antivirus, any spyware, any malware stuff that pops up when they're browsing the web.
Look at me and my hands. I talk with my hands.
Well, if you're a Mac user, you don't have that concern for now.
Yeah, for now.
I've been schooled. But if you ever, in a Mac or a PC environment, have an issue where you get one of those antivirus softwares and it's fake, it's clearly one of those things that pops up and you go, oh, wait a second, I'm on a website looking for something. And this thing just pops up out of the blue, that's a pretty good sign it's not real. Because yeah, you didn't go there.
You click OK or yes.
Yeah, those are your options. Don't click anything. Don't click the red X. Don't click the accept. Don't click decline.
Cancel.
Cancel. All you have to do in the Mac world is click the command, the option, and escape key at the same time. Command, option, escape. And that'll bring up your force quit applications window.
Force quit.
Force quit. That would be the equivalent of the task manager.
And ours is three fingers as well.
Yes. Yours is the control, alt, delete, and you have to use your middle finger for two of them.
Actually, I use it for all three.
Very talented.
I have three middle fingers.
Anyway.
I made something in Woodshop that just hits all three keys at one time.
It's one button. Anyway, force quit applications. You can quit your browser without clicking on a thing, and you know you're not going to get infected. And obviously, in the Mac world, we don't have to worry about that too much.
Yet.
That's it. I'm done.
Yet. Fanboy.
And you can watch the whole Mac-tastic video with a side of Winders. On our website, datadoctors.com/radio. It's actually pretty entertaining. You'll check it out. It's
entertaining for a pilot.
Yeah,
maybe. Speaking of pilots, actually, this has nothing to do with pilots, nothing to do with MacTastic tips, nothing to do with bi-platformalness. It has to do with Ford and Google, and it's actually kind of cool. So Ford, you know those guys, they make cars and such. They're employing people that use Google technology to do something very crazy. Why am I talking all choppy? I'm not quite sure about that. So Google created this API. An API is application programming interface.
Thank you.
Right? That's called Google Prediction API that lets companies like Ford and other companies that want to create scenarios where they let this play out, you know, 100,000 different ways and throw in all different kinds of variables, and they want to really test something Well, you can't wait years and years and years to test something. You want to do it in a compressed amount of time. And so you use their cool ability to take crazy algorithms and try different stuff. And the idea is that you're making driving more gooder.
What Brandon is saying is that's an advanced electronic simulation.
Google Petri
dish. Like the thing that you pretend to fly on.
That's an airplane.
No. That's the flight simulator.
It's a real airplane.
Microsoft Flight Simulator.
So Roger. It's not like you're going to search Google while you're sitting in your Ford. You're talking about way in advance of the car actually being in your hands as a consumer.
Yeah, so there's two different ways that they're using this. A, they're doing their R&D, right, trying to figure out how will this design change affect the way the car over long periods of time. You know, if you have the car for 8 years, what's going to happen to that? And what'll this change do? But the second way they're trying to use it is a way to try to empower the vehicle to have some better intelligence. And so they're looking at ways to take the vehicle and make it sort of predict a little bit better based on the way you drive, based on traffic information that it can sense, based on all kinds of different things. Well, here's a little bit different route. Forget trying to listen to the traffic and find out what's going on or get some kind of crazy text alert, because that's the dinosaur method, right? What about if your car just said, hey, I got a different route for you today. Check this out, right? It sent you on a different way.
Can you imagine cutting like 10 minutes off your commute to work just because the car figured out a way to get around the jam and save you money at the same time?
Meet George Jetson.
Maybe this goes in conjunction with that, you know, the thing Ken was talking about earlier where he can go to sleep and the car just gets him there.
Yeah.
Well,
I like
if
that
the car has some brains, right now it's give the people the information, but later it's I got the information. I don't need the people.
And it's all going to magically sync via the cloud.
And I would like some warm milk on this trip, please.
What about when the internet's down?
You're hosed. You can't drive.
Right. It crashed.
All the cars.
It's like, yeah.
Bicycle.
When you say my Google crashed, it could be really bad. Hey, we always say if you've got a question, ask us on our Facebook page. And we had a Facebook fan ask us, what are you guys using for these polls? There's various polls that we put up there. There's actually a couple of different sites that we've used. There's one, if you're into a Twitter, there's one called TwitPoll, TWTPOLL.com. And the basic package is free. You can have up to 400 people respond. And it gives you like a week to run the poll. And it kind of keeps track of everything. And it's got cool little graphs. And it's a nice little thing. And it's free. And then if you're doing a lot of polling, they've got a lot of other things that are going on. But a fairly new feature in Facebook. So anybody's got a Facebook fan page, all you business owners out there or whatever, you've got a club. You should see at the top there where it says status and photo and link and what have you. You should see on the far right, it'll say question.
Why wouldn't they make it say poll? Duh.
Because it's a question.
Yeah, but then they have the little thing. I mean, they make it. It's a poll.
Because they didn't want to offend a certain region of the country, of the world, I guess.
Which region? Oh, the Eastern Bloc.
Yes.
The poll.
Yet.
Larks. Right. It's a bird.
So, oh, they didn't want to offend birds. Okay.
Yes.
Question. And you basically put in the questions, and people can click on there. You can see how many people clicked on each one. It's really, really basic. I like TwitPoll much better. So if you're doing really intense stuff, if you're really getting crazy, SurveyMonkey. SurveyMonkey does some pretty amazing things.
That's offensive
there.
To monkeys.
The survey part?
Well, the monkey part.
Today, we'll offend lots of groups.
Mr. Gibbon, I'd like to ask you a question.
From polls to monkeys. Just ahead, Ken is going to blow you away with something new for the Android.
No, I'm not.
Psst. It's been available on the Apple platform for a while.
Whatever,
now.
Fanboy.
This is the Data Doctors radio program. And if you've spent any time listening to the Data Doctors radio program, you know just how important antivirus software is. But you've gotten lazy. And when that renewal notice popped up, you know, you just ignored it. Say, I'll get to it later. Sounds familiar, right? It's the number one reason people just like you come into our stores for help. With Data Doctors Quality Care Secure, your antivirus software never expires. And when you have computer issues, you're just a small copay away from getting them solved. Imagine never having a big repair bill ever again. That's the beauty of quality care. It's kind of like health insurance for the health of your PC. Data Doctors Quality Care. With plans starting at just $8.95 a month, there's a quality care plan to fit your needs. Stop by any Data Doctors location or just go to datadoctors.com and click Quality Care. Data Doctors Quality Care.
This is the Data Doctors radio program.
Remember all the good stuff well, and the junk we talk about, can all be found anytime our website, datadoctors.com/radio.
Delivering technology for your technology.
The Data Doctors Radio Program.
So Google I.O., that's the big unveiling event for Google every year where they basically say, here's what we're working on and here's what you can expect in the near future.
We got to explain the I.O. is input-output.
I thought it was that's why you go to work. I.O., I.O.
I.O.
My people made that song.
Thank you.
The Disney's, that is.
Yeah.
So they announced an initiative called Android at Home. And essentially, without getting into all the technical details, they want to become the operating platform for your home. So think about everything in your home that's electronic or has an internet connection or has an on-off switch, right? Connected through this invisible cloud that's all controlled by Google.
So let me see. Google's in my search.
Cloud,
they're in
yes.
my email.
Yes,
they're in my documents.
They're in your bedroom.
They're driving my car for me.
Yes.
And they're up in my business in my house.
And the government is quite jealous.
Well, maybe Google is a government arm.
No, no. The government is Big Brother.
Yeah.
Google is Big Brada.
Brada?
Yeah. Shaka bra.
Big Brada.
You know, the cool brother.
Huh?
No.
So Google is going to control everything
well,
in
no,
your
no.
life.
What they're trying to do is basically consolidate what we've all seen. So, like, you've heard of Sonos.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you have it because it's really expensive.
I've heard of it, and it's spectacular. I have it in my house, and it's way better than anything else that I've ever tried that's anything like it.
But it's expensive.
Yes,
And Sonos allows you to set up these zones in your house, and you can play music. You can control it from everywhere. It's cool.
Way better than the Apple alternative, by the way.
Well, guess what? One of the initiatives for Android at Home is to take just garden variety things and allow you to do that same thing. Have that same experience of you're walking around with your Android cell phone and you can control the music on any set of speakers anywhere.
Yeah.
Hang on.
Mm-hmm.
Light switches,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
Appliances.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, of course, the idea is they're going to try to create this platform that all the world will start integrating into their technology.
Yeah.
What you got?
Ken.
What you got?
That already exists in the Mac world.
Go ahead.
True Control.
Yeah.
$9.99 app on the App Store.
Yeah.
You can do all that already. It's been around.
There's actually, so if you got into home automation years ago, there was that X10 technology that still exists. Huge mm-hmm. enthusiast community. There's an app for that, too.
You can buy those at Radio Shack, can't you?
But
you
you're
can,
missing yeah. the point. You're missing the point.
What's the point?
What?
Android at Home. They want to be the operating system.
They want to turn us into robots.
I prefer my fruit.
Speaking of fruits and flags.
fruits over robots?
I do.
Yeah.
So the flag side of the fruits and flags equation, Windows. I know it's hard for you to hear that word. Windows. You can't hurt. Oh. He's melting.
We're not touching you.
Windows Phone 7. Did you know they've made a phone?
Does it work or does it crash and give you a blue screen of death?
Actually, it's actually a very cool phone. And part of what they're working on is...
How many people have those, by the way?
Two.
12.
Okay.
They're working on the first major update, and they've codenamed it Mango.
Love mangoes.
Which is a lot like an apple.
It's a fruit.
But tastes more delicious.
Yes,
the flag is becoming fruity.
So what does Mango include, you ask? You didn't ask it. I'm going to ask it for
okay,
you.
What does it include?
Internet Explorer 9, which has HTML5 support. So all the cool things that are sort of
pseudo
the
flash,
leading edge of the web and the future of the web, that's all going to be included.
That's the stuff that's phasing out Flash, right?
Yeah, they're adding a bunch of languages for guys like you that are multi-bi, tri-fi, quilingual. Portuguese, Chinese, Dutch, Japanese, Korean, Polish, Russian.
Hebrew? Because that's what I speak.
Yeah, not so much.
Crap.
You speak a little bit of English, not so well. They're adding Bing Vision.
That's American.
You've never heard of Bing Vision. It's because Bing Vision will be exclusive on this device. Bing Vision, think of search, but rather than typing and searching, how about take a picture of something and search based on what that picture is?
Google Goggles.
Except, it's character recognition. It's Google Goggles-ish, but it's embedded.
On steroids, yeah.
It's embedded in there, so you can search not only the web and the world, but your own device by taking a picture of something, and it finds related pictures, pictures of the same people.
Oh, so that when you that awkward situation where you go to a cocktail party, go, who is that person? You take a picture, it looks in your address book, and
that's
goes,
"That's the famous Ken Colburn."
Yes.
Or is it? Maybe is it Sanjay Gupta?
Oh, hang on. Nobody would have that problem.
Why is that?
Who is that guy? No, that's not the problem.
That's the other guy.
That's the other guy.
Exactly.
But they might confuse you with Sanjay Gupta. People should know you changed your
plan B.
Picture.
Yeah, well, only my friends would know that.
Now, the other thing that this thing has, which I think is pretty cool, is the Bing audio.
Oh,
which
the
is,
audio service, yes.
Which is similar to Shazam, except they're trying to keep you in their own little store, in their own little world, right?
Right. So if you're not familiar with what Shazam is, you're out someplace, you hear a tune. This happens to everybody, right?
I did it this morning.
Oh, what's that song? What's the name of that song? Oh, who sings that thing? Oh, right? Shazam lets you take a quick, like, 10-second snippet of it and record it. It sends it up to a service that figures out what it is, and it tells you not only what it is, but here's the catch. And you can buy it right now for only, you know, whatever, right? Well, they're working on their version of that. Of course, the idea is that rather than get Shazam built for that platform, make your own, beat them to the punch, and for the 12 people that use it, when they go to buy the music that they just figured out that's what they heard.
Is it me, or the visual of this is somebody running after a bus that left 20 minutes ago?
Yeah, you know, all of this technology sounds really good, but it also sounds like technology that's been around for a while.
Yeah, but it's a lot of it's just one-upped, right? Like speech-to-text, another feature they're working on. Well, of course, we all have speech-to-text apps today in our phones, but they're very limited. You can speak something, and then you copy and paste it into an email.
Real bad.
This is straight in an email. It'll read you the email. You can reply to the email. You can straight text out of it. You can search your phone by voice.
By the way, fanboy, in this area, Android's got everyone beat right now. The Apple platform is the worst.
Yeah.
So hopefully this relationship with Nuance, there's rumors we're going to see this in the next generation of iPhones. And there's a hey, about time, Apple. Hello.
It would actually be one of those reasons that I would actually even consider looking at a device, touching a device.
My guess is this device, by the time they're done with this update and get it out, it's going to be probably technically superior. Just nobody will have it.
Do you think that they might put Skype on it?
Yeah, duh.
Micro Skype?
Actually, have you ever played with a Windows 7 phone?
I've never played with anything that has...
A Windows Phone 7?
I've never...
Yeah, say it right, dude.
It's a Windows Phone 7 phone.
I've never played with anything Windows.
You know what?
Windows.
I have to say, I can say clearly, if that had been the first handset that was the beyond the smartphone, it would have had tremendous opportunity to really grow. It simplifies. It's probably the easiest handset I've ever seen that has a lot of power and sophistication. It's really got potential, but it's going to have to really do these things that Brandon's talking about to really kind of gain market share.
Well, we'll see if we can get our hands on one, and you guys can play with it because I ain't touching it.
Yeah.
All the links to everything we talk about today can be found at datadoctors.com/radio. If you need help solving tough tech questions, you can always go to one of our in-store data doctors and get some help there. Just type in your zip code at datadoctors.com. Until next time, it's Spanky, Apple Fanboy, Brandon, and Ken. Peace out.
This is the Data Doctors Radio Program.